the Storm.
I will go back to the pain and the pities that break the heart of the world with mourn. I will forget in the grief of the cities the burden of my own. There in the world grief, my own grief humbles. My wild hour melts in the days to be as the wild white foam of a river crumbles, forgotten in the sea.
These stanzas from the great American poet who died this year, Edwin Markham, are read by Mark Scott to Professor Allen today. Today we bring you another chapter of Against the Storm, written by Sandra Michael and presented by Procter & Gamble, the makers of Ivory Flake.
Mr. Edwards, I feel awful.
Well, what's the matter, lady? Lose your last friend?
No, but, I forgot to mail my entry for Ivory Flakes Pontiac Contest last week.
Oh, well, then cheer up. There's another big Ivory Flakes Pontiac Contest this week. Yes, starting this very day.
With more Pontiacs as prizes?
Yes, with 10 more gorgeous Pontiac Special four-door sedans as prizes. And remember, when you win that Pontiac, you also get a book of coupons good for 1,000 gallons of famous stepped-up Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. 1,000 gallons of gasoline, well, that means nearly 2 whole years of driving. And look, besides the Pontiac, plus the gasoline, Ivory Flakes also gives you $100 cash vacation money. Why, that might mean a deep sea fishing trip while you're at the coast this summer. Or you can rent that summer cottage you've wanted for so long. 100 extra dollars to do with as you like. And remember, this contest also offers 100 cash prizes of $10 each.
Say, it's wonderful to think you can win a prize like that for writing an easy sentence about Ivory Flakes.
Sure, it's easy. Now listen, here's how you enter. You put 25 words or less on the end of this sentence. I like Ivory Flakes because...
Could I write about how Ivory Flakes helps me get longer wear for my silk stockings when I use them every night?
Sure, that's a swell idea for a contest entry. Or if you use Ivory Flakes for washing your baby's little clothes, well, here's a kind of thought that can help you enter. I like Ivory Flakes because when I use Ivory Flakes for washing my baby's little garments, I can keep them clean and dainty without danger to delicate colors and materials. Just simple ideas like that may be worth a Pontiac to you. And say, if you don't think our winners are excited when they get the good news, well, listen to what Mrs. Philip Lange of Chicago, Illinois said. She won a car in an ivory contest a year ago, and she wrote us,
"Everyone in this neighborhood was so excited. No one had ever known anyone who had ever won a prize in a contest before. We now have driven about 12,000 miles, and each of them was for pleasure. Of course, the free gasoline makes that possible. Winning the car was grand enough, but the gas makes it that much more special."
So friends, get busy on those entries, and you may soon be driving a Pontiac. Even if you've never used Ivory Flakes, get a box and try them. You'll be amazed how fast you get good contest ideas. So listen now, get these easy rules. Put 25 words or less on the end of this sentence. Ivory Flakes because. And then mail your finished sentence with your name and address and one Ivory Flakes box top, either size or facsimile. Remember, one box top or facsimile. Address Ivory Flakes, Cincinnati, Ohio. Ivory Flakes, Cincinnati, Ohio. Entries are judged on originality, aptness of thought, and sincerity. This contest is open to the United States and Canada. Judge's decision is final, and duplicate prizes will be awarded in case of ties. See complete printed rules at your Ivory Flakes dealer. But get those entries in the mail now. Contest closes this Saturday, June 15th at midnight. Pontiac winners will be announced in about 2 weeks. 25 little words may win you a Pontiac. A few months ago, Reed Wilson would have been very skeptical if someone had prophesied that on a fair evening in early summer, he'd be walking along a quiet, small-town street, arm in arm with a young girl who had just declined his proposal of marriage. Not that a foreign correspondent couldn't very easily find himself in such a setting, such a predicament, but for Reed Wilson, it would have been a most unlikely thing. He'd grown increasingly dubious about the rhyme and reason of life, love, and matrimony during his last few years in Europe. And then on a homegoing liner last fall, he met Kathy Reimer, a an exile from the world of mortal storm. He fell in love, and on an evening in early summer, he asked her to marry him. As he had known in his heart she would do, Kathy told him that she loved, always will love, Manuel, the boy she last saw 2 years ago before he and her brother Torben disappeared in Europe's turmoil. Kathy and Reed are standing at the gate of Professor Allen's garden. The evening is still and sweet with summer's early growth.
Thanks, Abby. Not tonight.
I'm very proud and very grateful because of you told me so great and honest treatment. You won't smile and pretend that I am just saying words, will you? Please. Because I mean it with all my heart.
I know you do, Daddy. But I can order the truth for feeling that way. But I'm not exactly asking you to forgive me for asking you to marry me. If that's an instant statement, granted any person who falls in love, at least you can ask. Oh, I'm sorry about it, something else. I shouldn't have questioned your feelings for your friend of mine. Forgive me for that, sir.
There is nothing to forgive. Anyone might question whether anything really existed upon the world we used to know.
But you don't question it, Captain. And that gives you a talisman against time and everything else. One you want to hold on to with both your hands.
A talisman?
Yeah. Oh, a talisman is a charm to ward off anything that threatens to destroy your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I know now how important Manuel is to you. I wasn't sure before the minute. Why, I had enough courage to ask you to marry him. I had some fancy plans in my head, complete with a house in the country and a garden to the grandfather. I thought all that out after what you said about wishing you to get a little house so your grandfather wouldn't have to live in that little apartment in the city.
What can I say to you, Ruth? You're so kind and so good.
No, Kathy. I wasn't being altruistic, Kathy. Did I figure out a better life for myself? Not in all these years, I think. I may have had some fine notions in my earlier youth about living. Those notions died a quick and early death. Can't remember most of them anymore. I guess one of them had to do with owning a South Sea island. And another time, I remember all I wanted was to keep traveling for the rest of my days with no place I'd have to go back to. Last year or so, I haven't wanted anything except a one-way ticket to some kind of peace and quiet in the order of a man's working day. Then, all of a sudden, I wanted to live in an ordinary little house somewhere. With you, the most extraordinary gal, for my wife.
I do not in the least observe the truth.
Well, you're saying anything, Kathy. It is the way it is, and that's that. Why I should have told you all this, I don't know. Maybe it might be that back in my mind somewhere, way back where neither my will nor my conscience can reach to prevent it, there's a thought that someday it might make a little difference to you. You might someday want to remember what I said. If that should ever happen, Kathy, will you let me know?
Richard, I honor your right to a more equal happiness too much to come to you for refuge. I could never do that.
But don't you think? No, we won't talk about it anymore. Only promise not to forget what I told you.
I shall never forget it, you know.
Good. Now you better skip indoors, Kathy. Night.
Good night, sir. I wish I could say what I feel, but I cannot.
Don't try, Kathy. I think I know what's in that long, gentle heart of yours.
Thank you.
Though grief may stay as the heart's cold guest, I will finish the work that the things God gave me, and then pass on to rest. I will go back to the great world sorrow, to the millions bearing the double load, the fate of today and the fear of tomorrow. I will taste the dust of the road. I will go back to the pains and the cities that break the heart of the world with moan. I will forget in the grief of the cities the burden of my own. There in the world grief, my own grief humbled. My wild hour melts in the days to be, as the wild white foam of a river crumbles, forgotten in the sea.
Mm-hmm. I've always liked that.
Can you tell me who it is? I believe you're just stalling, Professor.
Oh, am I indeed? I said to mark him. If I must prove that I know.
Okay. I thought I had you there for one.
You did. Wasn't sure about it, so I looked it up in my mark and see a while.
Oh,
we're reading
it. Oh, for Pete's sake. Well, then, I'll talk that up against you.
Very well. But here's one for you.
All right. What delightful hosts are they? Life is life.
Lingeringly, I turn away this late hour. Yet?
Well, is that all?
Oh, wait. I think Percy is coming up the path without a young man.
I beg your pardon.
Hmm? Oh, I happen to notice that Percy and Mr. I hope his name, Mr. Wilson, stopped at the gate a few minutes ago. They were talking down then. Now Cassie's coming in the house alone.
Oh.
I thought she was going to bring him in for coffee this evening.
Well, it's pretty darn late. It's after 11. Hey, that band concert said they must have dragged out tonight.
Oh, sure. He was home an hour ago, you remember.
He's a very nice chap, that Wilson. Yes, so Cassie said.
Mm-hmm. By the way, have you spoken to Cassie about working with us this summer?
Why, you know, Professor, I wasn't sure that you felt we needed help, so I haven't said anything.
Obviously, we need help. The matter stands now, compiling this book. It resolved itself into a guessing game. Highly entertaining, but unproductive. Having Cassie as our technical assistant could help us keep a more business-like attitude toward our work.
Well, I'm awfully glad you feel that way about it, Professor. I certainly think that Cassie belongs down here in Hawthorne this summer, and not up in New York.
When Mark saw Kathy's pale, sober little face a few moments later, he was more certain than ever that she ought to be as far away as possible from the influence of Mr. Reed Wilson. The professor, too, was concerned when he saw how unhappy she looked, though he finds no explanation for this until he talks with his wife tomorrow in Against the Storm. This is Ralph Edwards saying good day for the makers of Ivory Flakes, 99 and 44, 100% pure.